Blog Talk Radio.
Wukusu, baby. QEP status. I'm sitting in my wicker chair. Somebody summons the Panthers. Danger in the air. Grab my black beret and my black boot in the banger. Get the full report. We got strangers there, base two. HQ. They got us around. They're trying to cave us in. Hell no. Nah, they're trying to make us slaves again. Well, that can happen. Let's get the strapping. Call my blooded crip homies. Join. Let's get it cracking on real crackers. Hit the precinct to let them know what we think. Somebody grab the grenades. Let them know we ain't slaves. And don't forget the shovel. Got a bird. Light a devil. Let's throw the bees and seeds up. It's time to get free up. Man up. Wake up. Clean up. Stand up. Man up. G, wake up. Clean up. Stand up. Man up. Wake up. Clean up. Stand up. Man up. Wake up. Clean up. Stand up. I got my hands on a pump of assault off. Walking into a blood and crit war. Telling my brothers call it off. So we can get at these real enemies. It's not you or me. Let's get these crackers low, homie, homie. We need to be seeking revenge for little Bobby Hutton. You want somebody stay off the pitch so I can start busting. I'm sick of us getting at each other, man. We brothers, man. We need to be getting at the other man. G, while the mothers are crying, the babies are dying. We got these crackers in the media line. We ain't no savages. We ain't no criminals.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. Black power. Black power. Black power. And more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. It's Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy and overjoyed to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. I never count this a wasteful moment. I always count this an honor to be able to talk to you, your sisters, your brothers, and even some others here on this official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, not brought to you by Colgate, not brought to you by Budweiser, not brought to you by any corporate sponsor, brought to you by the will of the people, God Almighty, and the self-determination and rise of black people. We're honored to have you with us tonight, as, of course, we always pack our shows on Monday night. Monday nights are designated for you brothers and sisters to learn about what the new Black Panther Party is all about, what we stand for, what we're fighting for, and what the latest happenings are in the black nation. It is also a night for our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, to address you in the radio listening audience about what is on his mind, what is on his plate, what is on his agenda, and what he hopes to do for our people to aid in the rise and resurrection of our community. And so we hope to hear from him tonight. We'll also expect to hear from Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, the great legendary activist, freedom fighter, warrior, PhD, a brother who co-founded the United Bank of Africa. Co-founded, hear me good, the United Bank of Africa. the World United Bank of Africa, and the Saudi African Bank. Since 1996, Dr. Al-Mansour has been legal and financial consultant to various public and private companies. He's an international attorney, teacher, and businessman, and has a host of businesses, financial institutions, and has written a plethora of books. He holds a BA in philosophy from Howard University and a JD from the University of California, Berkeley. That's some of the accolades on our guest, Brother Khaled Al-Mansour, who will be joining us, and he's no stranger to Black Power Radio. We're glad to have him back. We're also glad to be able to hear from our brother tonight, who you have heard over the last several weeks has been locked down in the belly of the beast. And we told you beforehand that he was locked down on some mixed up, fixed up, trumped up charges. And we're happy to report tonight on Black Power Radio that our brother is free, that Brother Mikhail Muhammad from Jacksonville, Florida, is a free man. And we're even more ecstatic to tell you that all charges have been dropped. And so all praise is due to God, the Lord of all the world. We're thankful for Brother Mikhail Muhammad's release, and we're steady pushing toward the release of Minister King Samir Shabazz, National Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and we're steady pushing for the release of all political prisoners and really all black people who have been unjustly tried by a criminal, just us system. So we'll go further into that, but we're thankful. We will have Minister Mikhail Muhammad from Jacksonville, Florida, on the line with us tonight to talk and to tell about his harrowing experience in the belly of the beast, and also what he thinks about this sham of a trial with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, this trial for George Zimmerman about Trayvon Martin. He's going to talk about that, as he was at the center of a lot of that controversy in the beginning. But the topic tonight, given to us by our national chairman, is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. The conspiracy to destroy black boys. And this is no disrespect to the female. We're going to get to the sisters. We got to talk tonight on the conspiracy to destroy black boys and the Million Youth March. We'll also hear from another bold entrepreneur, a brother who is cutting edge and a man who is largely behind the New Black Panther commerce and memorabilia and shirts and magazine, the RBG News magazine, and a lot more that he's working with and putting up for our people to access. He is a man who is focused on business, and he's focused on improving our economic conditions, starting with our economic minds and our economic habits. I'm talking about our brother from Los Angeles, California, California IA, Brother Mike L. And so, again, with all the twists and turns that this show takes, you know that we expect even uninvited guests. As I have to remind you, we are pushing towards September the 7th of this year at the Harlem State Office Building, 125th, and Adam Clayton Powell in Harlem, New York, the Million Youth March. It is the 15-year anniversary of this historic, monumentous occasion, and we want to invite you and your family to be out with us on September the 5th. I'm going to be 5th through the 8th for the Black Family Conference. Now, listen to me good. September the 5th through the 8th is a national Black Family Conference where we have invited some of the best and the brightest. We expect to hear from Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, that great, great, great scholar and that great clinical psychologist. We expect to hear from that great scholar and theologian of black theology, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. We expect to hear from that great holistic healer of health and medicine, Sister Queen Afua. We expect also to hear from that great economic mind who will be debating our national chairman, by the way, come August the 25th there in New York as well, talking about Brother Polite and the New Covenant Movement. There are others. Brother Bun B from the group UGK has come on board to endorse the march. We thank Brother Nick Cannon. You know Brother Nick Cannon and his wife and queen, Sister Mariah Carey. We thank Brother Nick Cannon for the endorsement of the Million Youth March. We thank our brother, Brother Michael V. Roberts, and the Crown Plaza Hotel for his endorsement in the Spring Tour, for their endorsement. Sister Erica Badu, we thank you for your endorsement of the Million Youth March. These and many others we expect to hear from live and in person. And you should expect to hear from live and in person September the 7th right there in Harlem, New York. Make your arrangements now. If you are over a youth organization, we want you to bring your youth organization to this movement and this rally. We want you to bring your college students. We want you to bring your high school students. We want you to bring your families. This is also a celebration of Black family. And so we are more than excited, more than ecstatic, and more than happy to be able to be in a position to do this for the people. Remember, tell a friend, Million Youth March, 15-year anniversary. It's been 15 years since that beautiful, bold, bald-headed Black man, the man in whose name we come to you in, put that march on right there in Harlem, New York. It's been 15 years since he challenged that old no-good toupee-wearing Rudy Giuliani. It's been 15 years since he, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, put Black power on the map in 1998. And so our national chairman now is picking it back up and putting it back on the hearts and minds of our people. 15 years later, here we stand, and we are debating in trial settings whether it is okay to hunt down our young Black boys and girls in the streets. 15 years later, we are still talking about inadequate health care and inadequate education. We're talking about having decent housing in our communities. We're fighting against the scourge of drugs and chemical warfare in our community. 15 years later, we are still working on Black-on-Black violence and white-on-Black violence and so-called gang violence and police abuses and misconduct. We must have a Black power movement, and we must have a Million Youth March or a rally, but most importantly, a youth movement. And youth movements that will electrify our youth to turn the page and turn the tide. This is what we're after, brothers and sisters. We are after grabbing the youth and grabbing the hearts and minds of our people so that they are not slaves to this system or slaves to global white supremacy. And so let me send you greetings as we get into it from our national chairman, that beautiful Black man who is working on behalf of the liberation and salvation of our people 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Let me say it is my honor to welcome you to this broadcast on behalf of the attorney at war and the defiant giant, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and, of course, every chapter of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Now, if this is your first time listening, we ask that you tune in and get in close, but also that you tell somebody that we are on the air and that we are broadcasting. The number to call is 646-478-4447. I'm going to say it again. That's 646-478-4447. To get involved in this conversation and to be involved with our brother, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, our brother, Brother Mikhail Muhammad, Brother Mike Allen, our national chairman, doctor and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so I want to jump right into this. Let me see here if I have Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour on the line now. If not, we'll move until he gets in here. We may have to call him on the line here. But let me see if this is area code here, 215-982. You're on live with Black Power Radio. This is Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour.
No, this is not Khaled. This is Haru Kahudi.
Brother Haru Kahudi, Black Power from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All right, my brother, you tuned in. And
I just wanted to give a report on Minister King Tamir Shabazz, our national field marshal, because I went up to see him on Saturday.
Okay, let's do that as quickly as possible as we try to pull in Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour.
Yes, sir. King Tamir Shabazz, I went up there to see him at Rikers Island in New York Saturday, and he's stronger than ever. He's stronger than ever. I was overwhelmed by the greeting that I got from him, you know, the strong black power and the handshake that I got from him. So our brother is holding the line. He's getting stronger because that's what we do, you know. And I just wanted to make sure that I reported that back, you know. So he sends all his black power greetings, his love to the new Black Panther Party, our national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and our whole entire Central Committee for all the efforts that they're doing, you know, to free him, you know, out of the beach. You know, so, hey, it's working. It's working.
Certainly appreciate that. We certainly appreciate the report that Minister King Tamir Shabazz is stronger than ever. And I know that hurts some of you beast feelings, and I know that hurts some of our detractors' feelings, as you thought that you had a good man down, and you thought that you would be able to slander him and to defame his name and defame his character, and that the masses of black people would fall for that hook, line, and sinker. But we are well familiar with the tricks of our enemy, and so we understand that in this struggle, in this battle, some of us will have to go behind the enemy line. Some of us will be captured in the jails of this enemy of ours, this open enemy of ours, this beast. But we also understand that wherever we are, that we have a duty to win the minds and hearts of our people, and that we'll fight for the resurrection of our people outside of jail, inside of jail, on top of the jail, under the jail, or around the jail, all throughout the hells and smells of North America. Is that right, Brother Root?
That's right, Black Power. He's spiritually, mentally, and physically stronger. You know, so look, hey, it's everything they do is working against them. What they do is working against them. You know, so I just wanted to let all of our comrades know that. You know, our brother is holding the line, and he's doing what needs to be done, and God is the best of planners.
That's right.
That's up. So it's working. You can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution. And that revolutionary is still alive and well. Yeah.
Right. Black power. Black power. We thank you, Brother Haru. We thank you for that report, sir. And we're glad. We want you to keep reporting. And those of you who are in close contact with Minister King Sameer, we want you to keep reporting what's going on with him, and we are glad to hear that our brother is mentally strong and that he's physically strong. We know he's in there working out and putting some meat on them bones. We understand, like my brother Haru just said, that they have a plan and God plans, and God is the best of planners. Minister King Tamir Shabazz is strong, and he will come out of this scenario victorious. He will come out victorious. Thank you, Brother Haru Kahudi, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he was, for those of you who don't know Brother Haru Kahudi, he is formerly Brother Jerry Jackson, the brother who was right there involved in the so-called voter intimidation controversy that swept so many of your television screens and swept so many of the radios. And you all really believed that them brothers was out there doing something wrong, when all along those brothers was out there defending black people. And the reports came out all around the news after the fact that the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, and others had plans to harm black people at different polling stations and harm black people across the country if now President Barack Obama, who was then senator, got into office. And so them brave brothers were there for the protection of our people there at a predominantly all-black polling station, a polling site out there protecting our people. And we give them a Black Power salute. We give them a Black Power salute for standing up and being able to respond and be there to protect our elders and protect our women and our children, even protect you. If you were there at that polling station, Black Power, Brother Haruka Hoodie, Black Power, Minister King Samir Shabazz, hold your head up and keep your head up, because there's a new day for the black man and black woman as we talk about this conspiracy to destroy black boys and to destroy black youth and also to destroy the Million Youth March. Let me see if this next caller is our doctor, Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. I may have to again call him up. Let me see, area code 340-998. 340-998. Is this Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, Black Power? Welcome to the radio broadcast.
Thank you for having me. It's your girl, So Loved, in Virgin Islands.
Hey,
I'm calling in.
So Loved, calling from Virgin Islands. How are you, my sister?
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Good to hear your voice.
Just to hear you putting in so much work, I had to call in. I had a little break in, a break to be able to call in and show my support. I'm not understanding what I'm reading as far as the conspiracy to, I guess, destroy the movement. What am I hearing? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's going on. In the cities, as we tell often, there's a program called the Counterintelligence Program that was put together by J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover had a full, expansive plan to stop black youth. At that time, united around black nationalism, or what we call self-determination, meaning to control our own community, control our own politicians, control the politics, control the economic resource, and what happens in our day-to-day life. Well, that plan has still continued. It still continues today, right now in 2013, where every time the young black male and the female, every time the young black male and female stand up to do something for ourselves, that we are normally vilified, demonized, and slandered in the public. Like you look at Trayvon Martin's case, just for an example. He's a young man who has done absolutely nothing wrong, went to the store to go get his family or his brother some vittles, some skittles, some snacks, and he was there with his family, walking through the neighborhood, and just walking through the neighborhood and wearing a hoodie on a rainy day. This brother, this young teenager, lost his life. This black teenager, I put emphasis on that, lost his life to the hands of George Zimmerman. And so there's very much, just from that example, there's very much an assault and a criminalization on the young black male and young black female, and it is happening on a daily and consistent basis. And there's a story for those of you who read the scriptures of the Bible where the King Herod in the Bible, or the Pharaoh, had his plan back in that day to destroy all the males and spare the females. It has continued today. And so that's why, my sister So Loved, we have to organize, and we're organizing for the Million Youth March. We're organizing for a movement for black youth to turn the tide and to promote positive young black male and female images, because the establishment, the state, and the system, and these folks will not do it.
Well, I definitely know that you are leading a very powerful movement, and like I told you before, I will do all that I can do here in the Virgin Islands, and the Caribbean, period, to bring knowledge to this and to pretty much make people aware of this movement, because down here in the Caribbean we're having the same problem, but to me it's more of a black on black problem that we're having here in the islands. And I'm on the phone real quick, 1 second. So I'm at a dinner date, but so what I'm trying to say is that I definitely admire what you do, and I cannot wait to come out and voice my concern and my support on behalf of the Million Youth March, because like I said, it's definitely needed down here in the Caribbean, and I'm definitely in full on support of what you do. So I just want to make sure I call in and let you know that I'm hearing you, I'm listening, and I'm going to continue to work and fight and support you as much as I can.
Black Power, thank you so much.
Black Power, Black Power. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. All the way from the Virgin Islands, to the soul love, Shabazz, to the soul love, Collins, pardon me. I'm trying to give her one of them African names. To the soul love is all the way from the Virgin Islands showing her support for our movement and her movement. This is not just our movement. This is her movement and your movement, a movement to save black males and black females. And we expect to hear from her. She has given her support for the Million Youth March, given her endorsement for the Million Youth March. She is a popular radio personality there in the Virgin Islands, also an activist, also a comrade and supporter of the new Black Panther Party. And we thank you, Sister Sola, for your support and calling in on behalf of our national chairman and everybody that's working on the Million Youth March National Committee. Again, we're rolling, and these endorsements are coming in. If you would like to endorse the Million Youth March, then you just email nbpphq@yahoo.com, nbpphq@yahoo.com, or email the national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com, shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com, and endorse this march. Put your support behind this march. You know, put your resources behind this march. Send some youth to the march. Again, send organizations to the march. Spread the word around. What are we going to be doing at the march? We're not going to just be marching and marching in place. No, we are building and working towards economic institutions. We're working towards educational institutions. We're working towards psychological institutions. We're working towards land ownership. We're working for youth empowerment. When we say youth, we're also talking about the young at heart. So just because you might be over 16 or 17, or you might be over 18 or 19, you might be in your 30s or your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, don't you stay away from this Million Youth March. You come on down to the march. Come on down to the rally. You come down to the National Black Family Convention and get involved with your brothers and sisters, and let's make something out of this wretched condition that the forefathers and foremothers of America put our people in, the white forefathers and foremothers that they put our people in. And since we have to deal with the dregs of slavery and the residue of slavery, now it's time to wash it off. It's time to be clean. It's time to stand up and be a nation. And that's what we got to do and we must do. And so let me, at this moment right here, about, we're almost at 30 in to 8, let me take a second, since we're talking about Minister King Samir Shabazz, talking about political prisons, we're talking about freeing our people. Let me take this moment to play something for Minister King Samir Shabazz. Many of you don't know that there's many in the new Black Panther Party who are very talented individuals in the way of arts and science and culture. And so we want many of you who are aspiring artists and rappers, if you're a graphic designer or painter or what have you, we want you to give your talent to the service of black people. We want you to help and support the new Black Panther magazine and to get your CDs and music out there, not just talking about shaking your booty or shaking your rump. We want you to talk about the things that affect our people and issues that affect us and prick their minds and their hearts in a way where they can receive it and be inspired by it. Let me play right now for Minister King Samir Shabazz, Real Warrior, as we pull on, hopefully by God's grace, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. This is Real Warrior from King Samir Shabazz.
Artifacts in this world. Love my earth, but polygamous, more than one girl. Wartime got me heated. Governments command and conquered. Holy war in effect. And George Bush, Peter Sahasa, I'm shaking hot. Shine up me gun, clip that that you want. Evils of this world of gods wrote the scripts for that. So maintain the black. Keep your mind right. So here, study that. Actual facts, understand that this God man is black. Actual fact, new Black Panther Party never whack. Getting back, bust a cop's ass, son, with a bat. And after that, big Jack Emma threw his rapid back. Looked him in his eyes, telling us what he get for that. I will smash you, beat you down.
down, kick booze and bat you. I have to break your molecules and regrab you. You stick to in your gutter hole, you white school off duty cop, kicked in the mouth with my boots. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Southern Black Liberation Army's never hit him. It's the first time they got your targets. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Southern Black Liberation Army's never hit him. It's the first time they got your targets. As I pound the ground, concrete still erupting. You're blazing, I'm still amazing. No interruption, no hesitation to take a house nigga's head, cause I'm sick of these coonin' niggas with them pretty ass dreads. And I'm sick of hooping these phones, every verse is full of lead. And I'm sick of the radio keeping our babies misled. And I'm sick of these faggot niggas come dripping on your face, on your knees for this crack. I can't stay in your own way. And I'm sick of happy niggas with these Happy Meal deals, and these Jewish ass labels don't love you for real. And I'm sick of every rapper claiming he's pop and steal. He's a bitch for real, you never dreamed to kill. You live in fancy lust, Black Panthers making bush open us. Walking through the path, Harriet Tubman set for us. Let's go do the math, revolution man is a must. We have come to clash everything that's irrelevant. I'm a Houthia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building Black Liberation Armies never hit him. It's the first time they got your target. I'm a Houthia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building Black Liberation Armies never hit him. It's the first time they got your target. As my thoughts maintain to always remain black, creep the other night, a devil named Jill got jacked. Big time boss man, run to the crossway. You put the steel in his mouth, take his wife in and then kill the home. At the hotel and spend up all the things. I used to sleep in the street, so I don't need no fucking friends. All your crap won't be fitting me, but still be loving your enemy. Residing in stupidity, but fuck my foes, I got no pity. Passing out for dead, doing them and moving out my city. But I've been watching back up with them niggas who want to go stick me. Niggas saying stuck, everyone's getting shifty. Got body getting funky, now they call me Mr. Shitty. Passing on the hydro skunk and back for sweets. Eyes red as fire, now I'm ready to crush your feet. Mayday, mayday, now it's time to kill the beast. A new world order clan, no dino, no man up from the east. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building Black Liberation Armies, never hit him. It's the first time, take out your target. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building Black Liberation Armies, never hit him. It's the first time, take out your target. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building Black Liberation Armies, never hit him. It's the first time, take out your target. I'm a woofia, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party.
Blame, blame jam, or your bang, bang jam, or your pin, pin jam. Live Rob speaking, who they top productions, DI in conjunction with Inside, aka Marijuana Smoke. We need an AK to get you on the floor. Before my mind spray the safety guard, what my mom say might not be a pillar too long, but it's gonna hit. Now rap, respect, the dialect, show me. What they throw them guns for, what they burn no blood for, what the undergirds for, hold on. It take groups like us to reconnaissance or riot. I think it's because we're the voices of Robert's tired of being last tired, first fired, hit with shots and fired, and getting off by hired liars. We are the voices of those invaded by time and tortured by data face of sculptures. Yeah, this is the surface, I'm here with the purpose. We make this industry nervous, knowing that we're lurking and coming, so down the horn.
Oh Lord, have mercy, God, man. Revolution, turn with Simon.
All right. Black Power, my family, we are back. We thank you for your patience as we put this thing together. And again, we're talking about the Million Youth March, 15-year anniversary, 2013, right in Harlem, New York, September the 7th. Right there in Harlem, New York, September the 7th. And we're talking now about the conspiracy to destroy Black boys. Now, I have the privilege and honor to have a great legend of our time, a man who I consider a great legend of our time. He's no stranger to Black Power Radio. He's been on with us before, but as I always tell you, you always got to stay in motion. And this is a man who always stays in motion. He's always doing something. He's always writing books. He's always organizing on business. He's doing something. He's busy. That's how we're supposed to be. I want you and the radio listening audience to welcome our friend and comrade in this struggle and a great, great businessman, attorney, entrepreneur, and so on and so forth. We have with us Dr. Khalid Abdul Mansour, Al Mansour. You with us, sir?
I'm here, sir.
All right. Peace and blessings. Welcome to the radio broadcast. How are you doing, sir?
Alhamdulillah. Everything's good. I've been recently in Africa to Europe where they're having a convention on the way back and continuing to learn, continuing to read, recognizing that we have a short fuse. If our leadership, including ourselves, do not prepare for the next decade, it's all over.
Yes, sir. Well, what prompted you to go to Africa? Now, I just wanted to ask you this, because many of our listeners, some have been, some have not been. What prompted you to go? I know that you've been going for many years, but what prompted you to go? Did you feel like you had to go at this time? Was it business? Why were you in Africa?
I started back in 66.
Yes, sir.
And I usually go every year different sections, because Africa, you can appreciate, is larger than India, China, Western Europe, and United States combined. So we're talking about a very large landmass. We're talking in terms of natural resources, the largest in the world. We're talking now about academic achievement. Africans born in Africa who are living in Africa outperform every other group academically. The question is, where did the African brothers and sisters get the motivation? What gave them the vision? What caused them to believe in themselves and their ancestors? What caused them to explore where the resources are in the country? What caused them to tell their parents and their grandparents? And what caused them, their sons and their daughters, to let them know, this is our day? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
That's right.
It is time now for us to accept the responsibility to guide our race to build a empire that embraces all of the ingredients of our history. Our empire historically stretched from China. China has tracked their history all the way back to Zanzibar in Africa. They recognize the ingredients of their vision, their determination, the minerals. What about the agricultural achievement? What do our leaders have to really offer? What do they want us to stand for? We talk about having dreams, we talk about having visions, but we're flunking out of school. We're disrespecting our families.
Right.
We disrespect our children, our grandchildren, our parents. We keep talking about one day we're going to change. The question is, when is that day?
That's right.
How will we recognize that day? What will be the ingredients of that day of destiny? If we do not produce the victory for ourselves and our children, we have no future. We can blame, we can criticize, we can turn our backs on history, turn our backs on all features of life, but we're not going anywhere if we're not prepared to pay the price. The question is now, young brothers and young sisters, look in the mirror. And you ask yourself one simple question. Am I going to be an A student this semester? Am I going to get involved with math, geography, history? Am I going to understand the history and how that history can be guided and changed in order for our race to survive and prosper? The answer is in your heart, it's in your mind, it's in your books, It's in your hand. This is our time. This is our day. When will we move? That's the challenge for your audience. And because of your leadership and your dedication, I'm sure that that audience is ready to move. Let's get it done.
Excellent. Do you believe at this point in history, Dr. Mansour, do you believe that there is a conspiracy to destroy black boys?
There's been a conspiracy to destroy blacks for years. The question is, what do we plan to do? What's our game plan? Let's be realistic. Go to the library. How many people are standing out there saying no blacks permitted? No blacks can come in. Go to a grade school. Go to the high school. Ask the teachers. How many blacks are prevented from going to school and going to the library, developing their minds? We sing songs about everything except no flunk outs. No dropouts. Honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should. Who prevents us from doing that? If we went down the street talking and singing about our vision, say it isn't so, who's going to stop us? People don't care. They say blacks, they don't mean anything. They're not serious. The question is, when are we going to get the job done? When do our parents meet us at the door asking please to see the report cards? What are our grades? What about our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, mosque, church? What do we have to show to indicate that we're serious? If we want to be of significance to Africa, that's wonderful. What are we going to share with Africa? Are we going to learn math, physics, chemistry? Are we going to learn about growing fruit, vegetables, business development? Who will provide the vision? That's the question. Young people are now becoming discouraged. They're saying, we've heard blacks say the same thing for years and years and years. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, but we're still flunking out of school. White people are not making us flunk out of school. Why are we flunking out? Watch the schools when the classes are dismissed. How many students have books in their hand? How many go to the library? There's no law against blacks going to the library. There's no law against blacks carrying the groceries for their mothers, their aunts, their fathers. There's no blacks mastering math, physics. When do we turn this around? And what is the game plan? You go to high school, they tell you, here's the playbook. Here is the playbook. Learn this playbook. Internalize all of the plays. This is our day. How many of us carry books home from school? How many of us talk to our parents and tell them that we want to be the highest performers? We want the parents to be a part. When are we going to turn this around? Because the clock is ticking, and before we know it, we will wipe each other out. Look at the crime rate in the black community. Blacks can't hardly go to the store. What are we going to just say? Well, it's not our fault. The white people have their foot on their neck. Who's preventing us from going to the store? Who prevents us from going to school? Who prevents us from being top students in our junior high school and our high school? Go down to the Caribbean and see how committed, dedicated the black Caribbeans are moving. They look just like us. What is stopping us from developing our mind?
That's a great question. What do you think it is? Let me ask you like this. Where do you see error with the elders? Have the elders or our parents, have we failed in some regard?
Well, many parents are not doing what they should do. But Why should that let us stop us? Our parents are not going to kick us out of the house if we came home with all A's. Let's be realistic. When is the last time the minister asked all the members of the congregation, young and old, to bring their report cards? When has the minister said, I'm going to kick you out of this church if your kids don't bring all A's and B's? Teachers aren't going to get mad. No one's going to put you in jail to have honor grades. Why do the people from the Caribbean excel? Why? We're in the same class, sitting next to each other. We're beating each other up. And the Caribbeans are saying, look, we can't afford that. Why are 22% of all the African students who are attending school in the United States A students? Why are 33% B students, 36% C students, and only 9% DRF? What is motivating the blacks to excel? Instead of making excuses without saying, I've done all I need to do, white people have their feet on our neck, we don't have to study any hard, as though if we flunk out of school, that's going to make white people successful. The question is self-help. What are we going to do? What did Garvey do? What did blacks decide to do to ensure their future? That's the question. Out in the Bay Area, we had street meetings. We're telling, you know why people told us you can't have a street meeting? We're drawing 200 and 300 black youth and adults meeting 4022 Grove Street every Monday night and Friday night, Oakland, California. No one stopped us. No one arrested us. No one told us that that's not good. How was that done, and why did it stop? The churches. What is the last sermon that said no flunk outs, no dropouts, honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should? Who's preventing us from having racial pride? Who's preventing us from getting A's? Who's preventing us from mastering science, geology? Where are the barriers? When are we going to stop the pursuit of self-pity and we are taking responsibility for our lives? Go down to the Caribbean. See the black students who are at the top of their classes. They're not making excuses. They're not saying one day things will get better. The grades of the students in the Caribbean are higher than they are in America. Why aren't we imitating them?
That's interesting.
We can go all the way to California. We can go to the parties. We can go to drugs. We can go all over, except we avoid knowledge. We don't have pride. We used to. We used to have pride, and we still have the ability. The question is, when are we going to turn our lives around and stop making excuses?
What happened to the pride, Doctor? What do you think happened to the pride that black people used to have that we don't seem to have today?
Blacks was inoculated with white fever. They say if the angels are white, fantastic. If the teachers are white, incredible. If our parents want to disappear, say, you know, I don't want to have nappy hair. I don't want black skin. I don't want thick noses. I don't want wide lips. I want to get away. But I remember those days, 4022 Grove Street, where blacks got into merit and then went to junior college, and then they went to Berkeley. Possessed with determination, we will make it. What happened to that? No one said if you try to get A grade, we'll put you in jail. What changed the movement? Why did we start looking for excuses, crutches? When's the last time you read a book? White people, if you go down the street right now, down to the store with a book in your hand, they don't want to jump on you. No one's going to throw that book away. We don't like it. White people will not say anything to you at all. But when will we read that book? When will the minister preach about how to read? The first words in the Quran, igra, igra, igra. That means read, read, read. When's the last time you heard that in a song where brothers and sisters are providing direction, determination, where the whole race is embellished? This is what happens in the Caribbean. This is what happens from Africans born in Africa coming to America. They're at the highest position in the school. What are we doing? Question is, listen to the radio. What songs do you hear on the radio that promote racial pride, that promote studying math, physics, geometry? When do we hear that? We hear songs about rape. We hear songs about white people are no good, and we'll one day get them back. But what are we doing? When do we go to church and ask the minister, can we address the congregation? Say, Rev, we want to talk about reading, whether you're a Muslim or a Christian. The Muslims, the first thing in the Quran is igra, 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 read, read, read. Why don't we do that?
That's interesting. You brought the point about what's on the radio. A lot of people don't know that you were the mind behind James Brown's Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was your inspiration for that song, and how did it get to him?
As I grew up in the Bay Area, we didn't have any money. We had done Monday night and Friday night, meeting at 4022 Grove Street, promoting racial pride. So a lot of the successful entrepreneurs in the Bay Area came to those meetings. We didn't have any money. 4022 Grove. Then we went down to Swan's Market and had street meetings on Saturday. We were getting 100, 200 people. You had Henry Ramsey. You had Thelton Henderson. Dellums. Huey Newton. You had blacks saying, man, what is the message? Then when James came to town, he would go down there to Swan's Market. Told James, here's the deal. We'll let you on the radio show, the Matchline, free if you will provide motivation for our race. We got a great race. We have an incredible history, but we need leadership. James, you can do it. And he said, man, they ain't gonna listen to me. You know, they want some Uncle Tom. They said, no. They want to see what you will do. First, you go on the air and tell them I'm not going to be interviewed unless you provide a platform. So the owners of the station, they said, we can't afford to antagonize James. Mr. Brown, Mr. Brown, can you be at the station? We want to interview you. Or Swan's Market. We want to interview you. Say It Loud. James Brown said, let me tell you something. If you want me to say it loud, you be sure that you get what you want. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to give you. I'm black and I'm proud. When's the last time you heard that? When's the last time our musicians said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud? What about the PhDs who just graduated from college? When they gave them an award, they said, I want all of you to know. It's not football, it's not basketball, that's fine. But it is, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Here are my grades. Forming book discussion groups, that's what we did at Berkeley. We had meetings to provide motivation. How many of our leaders made the song, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud? It's James Brown, Macon, Georgia. Saying to the race, this may be our last chance. Don't blew it.
Oh.
Now the question is, are we going to blow it, shoot each other, kill each other, steal from each other? Are we going to provide the blueprint? The blueprint. And if so, when? When is the last sermon that you heard in church where the minister preached the sermon, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud? You can't even remember it.
Can't
you
remember.
Cannot remember the last time the minister said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Why? They don't have a problem listening to white songs. They don't have any problem talking about angels. Blonde hair. White skin. The problem comes in when you get to Solomon. Solomon said, ye daughters of Jerusalem. Speaking about himself. I am black and I'm beautiful. You call someone black today, you might get cut up.
That's right. That's right.
We are losing our values. We're losing our perspective. We're losing how we go from point A to point B. We're losing respect for having all A's. That's what we did at Laney College. That's what we did at Merritt College. That's what we did at San Francisco State. We had pride. Donald Hopkins, Ron Dellum, we had pride. An achievement. What stopped us? When's the last time our leaders talked about A grades and B grades? Honor grades will make you feel good, like black youth should. We
absolutely.
Can blame white people and everyone else all over the world. When are we going to look in the mirror and say, when has our time come to show the world the black man's back? When?
Yes, sir. The time is now. Now, Dr. Munson, you are an author, an accomplished author. You have somewhere, 75 or more books, I believe.
No, not that many. What I started doing, and I'll tell you why. I started reading books because I needed motivation.
Okay.
I'm out there screaming and hollering on the street corner and blowing my mouth, and the people are asking me questions. I couldn't answer the questions. And I said, that ain't going to work. So when we had the African American Association meetings on Monday and Friday, it was the people at Laney College, it was the people at Merritt College, people at San Francisco State. They said, man, we're not going to have people laughing at us night and day. So we decided every Friday night we would start reading books. And every Monday night we would be giving lectures down 4022 Grove Street. People took it seriously. Little by little, we kept reinforcing pride. He said, brother, how you doing today? And they would say, don't worry about it, brother. I'm black and I'm proud. Then he would show his grades, A grades, B grades. Why did we stop that? Why didn't we continue to go and visit to some of the grade school and the high school and motivate our youth? These are our people. All they want is the reassurance that you're not going to sell them out. All they want to know is that you're going to set the stage. You're going to get A's and B's. You're going to make blacks feel good like black people should. So now you see Ron Dellums from the streets of Oakland. Ron Dellums now is a big consultant in D.C. trying to motivate blacks. The question is, what are we going to do? It's great what Stokely did. It's great what Dellums doing. But look in the mirror. What are we going to do starting today?
Yes, sir.
How many books are we going to read?
What's some books that you may have written or that you would recommend that parents and black people in general read to offset the conspiracy to destroy black youth?
Well, the book that really turned me on was Betrayal by Any Other Name. I read that book and read it. The more I read it, I said, man, this is incredible. I started comprehending more. I started reading faster. And our group was meeting on Friday nights and Monday nights, reinforcing our capability. And then James came out and said, man, look, you brothers and sisters, you are doing fine, but you're not putting enough in it. When you go to a football game, you're screaming throughout the whole game. You go to a basketball game, you're screaming and hollering. You're not waiting for your parents. You're not waiting for your coach. You're not waiting for your girlfriend or your boyfriend to tell you everything is all right now. Say it loud. No, 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 no. James said, I'm not waiting. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. You remember when James first used the expression black is beautiful? Blacks didn't want to use the word black. Don't call me black, man. I mean, that's like playing the dozens. James would not give up. And they weren't going to jump on James. They were going to go and say, well, James, if you say black again, I'm going to slap you in the mouth. James is not the person you want to select to have some encounters. He said, brother, look, let's get it on. But gradually, more and more blacks said, this is it. This is the vision. Now, when you go to church, when is the last time you heard a church sermon entitled, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud? What about Solomon? All of the pastors, mothers, uncles. Why did Solomon, you know, Solomon wrote a book called The Songs of Solomon. And in that book, Solomon was described as the wisest man in the world, meaning he had plenty sense. And what did Solomon say with all of his insight, determination, looking in the mirror? Solomon said, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. You know he was getting ready to talk trash because he was talking to the ladies. Ye daughters of Jerusalem, I am black and I'm comely. That means beautiful. We're not talking about the people in Greece. We're not talking about people in England. We're not talking about people in France. We're talking about Solomon, who made it clear, I am black. Now, why don't we sing that on the radio? When the radio stations open up at 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, when you call in to the radio station, why don't you start off saying, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Then it becomes contagious. People saying, you know, I go for that. I like that feeling. Why are our leaders, our singers, dancers, students, go to the library? How many blacks are in the library? There's no one keeping you out of the library. What is stopping us from excelling? Determination.
That's right.
It's like Solomon said. Solomon said, I am black and comely.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not imitating Solomon? Solomon said, I'm black and good looking. Sisters, are you listening to me? This is what the brother said. Solomon said, ye daughters of Jerusalem, I am black and comely. That means good looking. Why don't we write that on our tablets when we go to school? Write that on our notebooks. Why don't we tell the teacher, I want to whisper something so that you will remember it in your lectures that you give to the class. The teacher will say, what is that? This is what I want you to remember. Say it loud. We are black and we're proud. Becomes contagious. When's the last time the minister spoke about Solomon saying, I'm black and comely? Comely means beautiful. So you go to the book of Solomon's in the Old Testament. Read what Solomon said. I am black and I'm beautiful. When is the last time we said that? When's the last time we told our mother, our father, our parents? When's the last time we told our boyfriends or our girlfriends? When's the last time we got an A in an exam and we smile that I'm black and I'm beautiful because my mind is black? When are we going to do it? When's the last time you heard that on a radio? When's the last time you heard that in a sermon in your church or on the radio? When are we going to get up, wake up before it's too late? This is our day and we got to move now.
Excellent. Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, we appreciate everything that you're saying to us, and we appreciate the words that you're giving to us, and we're inspired. We have just a few moments left in this segment, and we have to bring in the next guest and let you go to the next time, my brother. But is there anything that you'd like to say to the radio listening audience in closing? And, of course, we hope to see you September the 7th at the Million Youth March. But anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Well, you know, it's going to be a new day, because we're going to create that new day. And we got to read. And we have to have book discussion groups. We have to promote knowledge. We have to have racial pride. We have to tell our parents and some of our pastors, those sermons are too old. They ain't saying nothing. When are you going to talk about Solomon, who said, "I'm black and I'm beautiful"? Reverend, speak up. All right, brother. Thanks for the opportunity. Let's keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
My pleasure.
Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Assalam.
As Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour found calling in and putting that truth on us, and we are so, so thankful, as always, to be able to hear from our brother and to hear from those veterans and the warriors of the struggle. And again, that's just a little black fact for you, that every time that you hear that song, say it loud, "I'm black and I'm proud," you hear immediately, you should automatically hear the name Khaled Al-Mansour, the author of that song and that jam. Let's go to another song here, another break here. We're coming back behind the song with our brother who was locked down in the belly of the beast, the man who you saw go toe-to-toe with Anderson Cooper over Trayvon Martin. He's going to weigh in on his thoughts so far on the Trayvon Martin case and the sham, what I call the sham trial that's going on right now with Trayvon Martin's family being at the center of it, unfortunately. We're talking about Minister Mikhail Muhammad. He'll be with us coming back from the break. And we'll also have with us Brother Mike Ale from Los Angeles, that great business mind and entrepreneur, and also Minister Hashim Nzinga. He'll be calling in, National Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party. I say to you, stay tuned, stay beautiful, stay black. Khaled Al-Mansour told us, stay black. Coming right back.
Yeah. Killer Mike,
fuck Terminator, nigga.
Brother Ali,
fuck Lambo,
no, yeah, yeah. Like a prison with invisible bars. No matter where you at, it always follows you where you are. And it's hard out there for a pimp to get out of, but it's harder for the hooker that he beats the shit out of. I got niggas underground in the Confederate States, ironically running from slavery that prison creates. So I never hate on the South, I respect their vision. I just hate on niggas that promote Samboism and white execs that love to see us in that position. They reflect the stereotypes of America's vision. They want us dancing, cooning, and hollering, only respect us for playing sports and modeling. More than racism, it's stay in your placism. All people are trapped in practical black racism. So fuck a civil war between the North and the South. It's between field niggas and slaves that are stuck in the house.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organization. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Rich niggas, blood niggas, essay Asians. Why the fuck we warring with each other's population? The devil wanna dead all our population, people in folk nation. Why the separation? Why we got Jamaicans hating on Haitians? When the British and French rape both nations, Mexicans and blacks kill each other straight hating. While the government profits from prison population. If you on the bottom, be you Anglo or Asian, you gotta recognize the realness in what I'm saying. You gotta recognize another G ain't the enemy. When the police
for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration, overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organization. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Listen, our hearts were torn apart just like y'all was. Watching towers full of souls fall to Georgia. Every time we called your office, you ignored us. Now you're holding hearings on us all inside of Congress. Microscopes on us, acting with your hardest. My answer was in line with all of the founding fathers. I think Patrick said it best, give me liberty and death. I shall never accept anything less. You claim innocence, you play victimless. But you gave the kiss of death in the name of self-defense. Slavery and theft of other nations to the end of pacifying your citizenry with success. We believe in freedom, justice, security, but they're only sure when they're applied universally. So certainly if I raged against the machine, my aim was only to clean the germs out of the circuitry. Urgently putting fear inside your heart, make you burn Qurans and tell me not to build a mosque. Me, my wife and babies, we ain't never made you hard. We just want to touch our head to the floor and talk to God. Ask him to remove every blemish from our heart. The greatest threat of harm doesn't come from any bomb. The moment you refuse the human rights for just a few, what happens when that view includes you? Civil war.
All right, black power. Sorry for that brief pause, technical situation. But we had Immortal Technique and Chuck D and his camp, and they were talking about civil war and fighting to save the nation, or fighting to save the black nation. That's what we're doing. We are fighting to save the black nation and fighting to save our black youth. And so we want you, of course, to join us September the 7th right there in Harlem, New York, Harlem State Office. To the 25th Street, Adam Clayton Powell, for the Million Youth March. You've been hearing about it, and you'll hear more about it. We want to come back from the break now and bring in Minister Mikhail Muhammad. Minister Mikhail Muhammad, you heard about him. He was there in the controversy. He was down, locked down after the Trayvon Martin situation. And so we want to hear from him and hear what he's been going through and hear what his thoughts on this sham of a trial that Trayvon Martin's family has to do, and what he thinks about what's going on with George Zimmerman. But I want to bring in before that a touching friend of ours, a brother who's a powerful friend of ours, a brother in this struggle, and he happens to serve as the National Chief of Staff. He's the National Chief of Staff for the New Black Panther Party, a rank in which he's worked for and earned. He's the right-hand man to our National Chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And as National Chief of Staff, he is one of the men. He is the man who's responsible for the nuts and bolts and things this organization go right. And a brother who is one of the directors of the National Board of Labor for the Million Youth March. And one of them, our brother, Minister Hashim Nzinga. He's Black Power.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Black Power, we can hear you. Welcome, Brother Minister. How are you?
Man, I'm great. I just hate that I was on the phone with Mike Roberts on a conference call, and I didn't get to hear Dr. Tyler Mansour.
Sure.
But I know already that he ate that thing up, because that's what Dr. Tyler Mansour been doing for the last 40 years. But I just wanted to say this, brother, because I'm looking forward to hearing from Brother Mikhail, because believe me, I'm one of the ones who understand how when you're falsely accused and falsely locked down and that thing that they've been doing for 400 years, try to put fear in us with threatening us with jail and threatening us with the injustice justice system. But
right.
They should know, from Malcolm to Garvey to Elijah to King, we didn't learn how to deal with that. But anyway, I just wanted to say this, brother. As of right now, the www.millionyouthmarch2013.com website went up about 30 minutes ago. We just want to let the listening audience know that we'll be able to communicate with this 21st century weapon we have at MillionYouthMarch2013.com. Start it now. Second, if people want to get in touch with us, you give them all the numbers and you're dropping it like you always do, Brother Sean.
But we got also, they can email us at MillionYouthMarch2013@gmail.com. And the reason we went with www.millionyouthmarch2013 and the email at 2013, because as people don't know,
we didn't have 4 or 5 million youth marches. We're a million youth march veterans. We know how to give our youth a platform to talk to the world. And I just wanted to let them know why other brothers locked down, Brother King Samir, on Wednesdays on Black Talk Radio, we will be covering the Million Youth March every week, week in and week out. And this week, Brother Sean, I just want to announce to your large listening audience that Brother Bun B, a veteran rapper, scholar, a professor out of Houston, Texas, who tuned up with a brother named Chad Butler, who we know as AKA Pimp C. Bun B used to tell us to stop pissing on those streets because there's people sleeping on those streets that we're pissing on. Shout out to the homeless and people that have to deal with those streets sometimes. We'll be our guest this coming Wednesday in 2 days on Black Talk Radio to drop as a veteran in the rap world to our young rappers who are trying to get out here and make a name for themselves, how we can come back to the Chuck D days and how we can come back to the days of Dead Prez and the positive information and how we can use this rap venue during the Million Youth March with Bomb B. Will be one of our hosts. And as everybody knows, the original 1998 Million Youth March, the reason we brought that up so boldly is because Pimp C and Bun B, the legendary UGK, peace be out to Pimp C, he's an ancestor now, and I'll never forget our Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, Brother Sean, and Pimp C's mother had called Dr. Khalid and said he wanted him to come to Port Arthur, Texas, because Pimp was having problems like a lot of our young people. He had his ups and downs, and he was trying to figure this thing out, and Doc really loves Pimp C as a brother. And we drove from Atlanta to Port Arthur, Texas, looking for Pimp C, and Pimp introduced us to Master P. And Master P gave us over $190,000 for the 1998 Million Youth March. So I just want people to know some of these conscious rappers, some of these rappers doing what they have to do, and they talking about what they see in the hood, but they give back or give back. So I just wanted to shout out Brother Sean and welcome our national chairman back to the country. I know he's back in now. And thank Dr. Khalid Mansour and a great show, earlier, I know. We'll just put it out there one more time, www.millionyouthmarch2013.com, and email us at MillionYouthMarch2013@gmail. Brother Sean, I'll let you do what you do. I'm looking forward to listening to my brother and a veteran and a Conrad from this Eastern Board out of Jacksonville, Florida. Brother Mikhail, fresh from behind the walls from the kidnapping and the false assumptions and accusations and everything else they do to us. But once again, as the FBI and the police listen to this station, Wherever we at, behind the bars, in front of the bars, on the streets of America, in Africa, Jamaica, Ghana, Brazil, wherever we at, if we're ancestors like the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, we're going to fight for the rights of our people. It's something that will never stop, never stop. And this stuff they're doing to us, God got us ready for a long, long time ago. He's Alpha and Omega. We already know the end, and the ending is the return of Egypt, the return of Africa, the return of the slave, the return of the intelligence of the slave, that slave who built those pyramids, who gave us science, who gave us engineering, who gave us so much that this world has tried to cover up. But as the Bible says, what you hide in the closet, God would put on the rooftop. And what you put in the dark, he would put one candle and light it up. Our youth will have their day September 7th. Thank you so much for the time, Sean. And I'm going to sign off and looking forward to hearing from my brother.
Absolutely. You said that website is MillionYouthMarch2013.com? Yes, sir.
Okay. Million Youth March 2013. Million Youth March 2013 at gmail.com. That's Chief of Staff. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sean. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Brothers and sisters, that is our National Chief of Staff, Minister Adi Menzinga, dropping a heck of an announcement on us this coming Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Black Power Radio. He'll be hosting. He hosts the show on Wednesday night, and his guest will be the legendary Bun B from the group UGK, Underground Kings. And all of you from Texas and surrounding area and really across the world now, you know well about UGK and you know well about Bun B. And Bun B supports the Million Youth March, and he'll be live with us, Minister Hashim Menzinga and Black Power Radio, this Wednesday. So tell a friend, and hell, to tell to anyone that you see that Bun B will be on Black Power Radio this Wednesday, and that's major and big. And thanks to Minister Hashim Menzinga, our National Chief of Staff, who's always coming with the exclusive and always doing it for Black Power, and that is big. For those of you who follow that example, and you're in arts and entertainment, or those of you that are promoters or PR people or what have you, follow the example of Minister Hashim Menzinga. He's always there dropping Black Power on him. He's always there dropping information on him, always organized our entertainers and the athletes and those who have public influence and those who you see every day. To do something for the people. Follow the example of Hashim Menzinga, our National Chief of Staff, and follow the example of Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour when he said he went to James Brown and said, sing this song and let's influence the big, big stuff. This Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Black Power Radio, Bun B from the group UGK. We want to bring in our brother who has been with us for a long time with us, and he's been so. And he has been fighting on the front lines in many battles with the New Black Panther Party. And he really, really, really hit an apex at the height of the Trayvon Martin controversy when this no-good bastard George Zimmerman killed the warrior and team. And again, I tell you, you saw him going toe-to-toe with Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper couldn't stand it. He couldn't take the heat. Anderson Cooper had to come out the clock. The world know that he was a faggot and a homosexual. He had to come out and say, I'm not a man. I can't stand with the of a Mikhail Muhammad, a New Black Panther Party. I'm just a little sissy. So I want to welcome my brother back to Black Power Radio, and we're thankful to God that his release, that he's home safe, he's able to be with his family and his loved ones, and he's able to share. And so at this time, brothers and sisters, welcome to Black Power Radio, our Southeast Regional Representative of the New Black Panther Party, our brother, Brother Mikhail Muhammad. Black Power, my brother. How are you?
Black Power. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam. Black Power to you, sir. Welcome out of the belly of the beast, brother, and welcome on to Black Power Radio. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. I want to give all praise to Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and we thank him for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, all our freedom fighters. And I want to thank Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman and attorney at war. And I want to thank all those who came to my aid. Justice is afar for the black man and woman in America and throughout the world as we speak today. What I've gone through, Brother Sean, is what others have gone through before me. I'm not the first and I won't be the last. Being a member of the Panther Party and being an officer in the New Black Panther Party and taking a bold stance in the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case put me on the hot seat. I understood before I took that post and I accepted that responsibility, so I was not up under illusion. I knew the forces were working against me as well as the other sisters and brothers in the New Black Panther Party today as we speak, the strongest, boldest organization that has a few good men and a few good women. And so I'm honored to be a representative, honored to represent our late but great former Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And so I greet everybody in the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum, Hotel, Black power, free the land, all black laws for all black people.
All the time, my brother. And so you believe, and I just want to be clear for the listening audience, you do believe that your arrest was a result of your stance and taking your bold stance for our brother Trayvon. I believe that.
Of course, brother. I knew that they were coming after me. And so, unfortunately, it was a woman they used to come in the door, brother. They took advantage of a woman that didn't speak very well. According to what I've studied, they doctored the police report. But not allowing her to get off the hook, she played a part as well. But I understand the train that I ride on, brother, and I know that that train is fraught with traps and dangers and obstacles. But I'm a firm, committed brother, and I'm not going to resign nor back down. I'm going to tighten up. I'm going to keep my foot in these crackers' eyes. I'm going to continue to fight on the behalf of all black people, regardless of whom and where.
Absolutely. That's the fighting. I know that when this trial started, I know that you were locked down. Were you able to keep the trial while you were incarcerated, or have you got up to date since you've been out?
Yes, I was up to date on the trial. We get newspapers, and, you know, so I would get information from certain people. So I would call and make contact. When you're in the belly of the beast of Jacksonville, they don't allow you TV nor radio, so it's very hard to tune in. But I just want to thank Allah for the people I was able to connect with that kept me tuned in to the beginning of the trial. And we're preparing to go down to South of Florida because, based on my observation, there's no fire being put on anyone down there right now. Zimmerman nor the state attorney nor the jury right now, they're just basically sleepwalking because the new Black Panther Party's presence is definitely needed down in South of Florida.
What are your thoughts so far in terms of what you can comment on? What are your thoughts so far on the proceedings and in the way that Trayvon Martin is being characterized and basically before the...
Well, it's basically a defamation of his character to discredit him every way they can so that Zimmerman could slip out the back door like he did last year when we had to force them to arrest this no-good beast. There's no good so-called Jew, and today he's still no good. He's still a bastard. He's still a bloody murderer that's trying to get off by using Trayvon Martin's background, which has nothing to do with this case here. Let me share a point to the audience. We had a case in Jacksonville, Florida, back in the 90s where this white woman was a prostitute. A young brother killed her because allegedly she gave him AIDS. That young brother was given a death penalty. So they didn't care anything about her being a crack addict nor a prostitute. They only was concerned about this brother committing that murder. So we must have the same position. No matter what Trayvon Martin was doing, smoking marijuana, whatever he was doing, it has no relevance to the case of Zimmerman killing an innocent 17-year-old youth who did not commit a crime. The crime was being black. The crime was being in Sanford, Florida. The crime was being in that apartment complex. And so Zimmerman, according to our investigation, he only harassed the black young men in that apartment complex. He didn't bother the white boys, no Latinos. So for him to go on record and his no-good lying family to go on record and say that he wasn't a racist, that Zimmerman had did more for black people than the new Black Panthers and all the black organizations combined, that was a slap in our face. That was an insult. And so we must put the pressure on those forces to make sure that Zimmerman gets arrested. But I would say this, he's not going to have any justice, whether it be by the so-called white man's law, which is not worth the papers written on, nor will he have get off from the black man who will definitely exact justice one way or another.
So you believe that if we don't raise, if we don't organize, you believe that Zimmerman will get off?
That's a potential. So we must organize quickly, and we must call all the soldiers on the front line to take a strong position and to get behind us and help us and support us down in Sanford, Florida. If we don't have a presence, there's a possibility that Zimmerman may get off. So we need to get on our posts as soon as possible.
All right, what is it that you think that we can do as an organizer? What are some of the things that we can do as a people looking at this case, some from there in Sanford, Florida, some there with you in Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, surrounding areas and across the black nation? What are some of the things that we can do to our voices be heard and to put pressure on this situation for young Trayvon Martin?
Going down the South for a collective effort of black people, whether it be in the new Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, other revolutionary movements concerning black men and women, if we just show up and state that our presence is more important than anything, collective unity, if we put it together properly, we can sound off a nuclear bomb and let these folks know that we're not just satisfied with Zimmerman being arrested and going on trial. We must make our presence felt just like last year. Yes, the new Black Panther Party was at the front line, but we had many sisters and brothers that stood with us, that supported us, that demanded his arrest, demanded justice. And so we're calling on all those soldiers to come out of the woodworks. Because if we allow Zimmerman to get off, there would be more Trayvon Martins all over America. So by any stretch of the imagination, have we not gotten a victory here? So we must pick up the pace. We must unite. We must put down our divisions, because right now, Trayvon Martin is on trial, not George Zimmerman. I must say that to you.
All right. And so we need more people to support you that's there in Jacksonville. We got to swell the Jacksonville chapter. We got to swell the ranks of the Black Power and those concerned in general for Brother Trayvon and the other Trayvons and players around the country. And I know that George Zimmerman has become some folk hero or hero to neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and Americans in general. And so is there a way, an email or a way that people who want to help you and support you, Minister Mikhail Muhammad, they can join you there and Jack to put pressure on George Zimmerman and pressure and show our anger in the treatment of Trayvon Martin and his family.
Yeah, they can contact me at Mikhail, MIKHAIL, number 45, at live.com, and 904-537-5504.
All right, one more time, brother. I didn't catch you.
Go ahead, Brother Sean.
I was saying give it just one more time in case somebody out there missed you.
Okay, Mikhail, MIKHAIL, number 45, at live, live.com. And my business number is 904-537-5504.
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Minister Mikhail Muhammad, we are honored and glad to have you out of the belly of the beast. Just like honored and glad to have Mr. Hashim and Zinga out of the belly of the beast. And we want Minister King Mishabaz Bars out from the belly of the beast. And Minister Hannibal Rashidine out from the belly of the beast. We want, as our program says, freedom for all black men and women held in the international military state and city jails. We want you free, black man, because you have not received a fair trial. And so, Minister Mikhail Muhammad, for working, we thank you for going through your trial and coming out of your trial. When I say trial, I mean trial from God. We thank you for going through your trial with a positive attitude and coming out even stronger. And that's a lesson to all of us. We go through our trials with the right attitude and a positive attitude, that we will come out stronger than what we went in. And so we thank you, Minister Muhammad. We look forward to your works and your upcoming fire and your upcoming spirit. I want to hear from you at the Million Youth March, September the 7th. I know you got to be in the house.
Well, I will be there, Brother Sean. I want to say that we must get behind Brother King Samir and Brother Hannibal. Freedom for our brothers who are political prisoners at this present time. We must continue to fight, organize, mobilize, freedom or death, black power.
Black power, freedom or death. Brothers and sisters, that is Minister McKimmer, whose faith is entrenched and staunch through the toughest and roughest of conditions. And you can tell a lot band and tell a lot about a soldier. When they go through hard times and they come back out on their post, it's not about when you fall down, it's about when you get up. Now, of course, we will continue, and he will continue to give Anderson Cooper nightmares. Of course, we, the new Black Panther Party, hope to continue to give George Zimmerman nightmares. And all you kill black people and black youth and hunt us down and stalk us down, we want to continue to give nightmares, and that you will not ever do that again to our young youth. Again, thank you, Minister Mikhail Muhammad. Thank you to the Jacksonville chapter of the New Black Panther Party and all the supporters down there, those who support the leadership of our national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We thank you, and we thank you. I want to move quick, as these segments are rolling, but it's power-packed. I want to move to our who also works with the youth, and he works with the youth in the capacity of economic development. He is a man who is on our national team. He's a national minister of commerce and really business development. He's working with our New Black Panther Party products. If you've seen that New Black Panther shirt on Sister Serena Williams, or you've seen that shirt on Ashraq Quayle, you've seen that shirt on Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, Sarah Sultan Seti, or any of them, that New Black Panther man, that gear that you need to get, he's going to tell you how to get it. This is the man responsible under the guidance and direction of our national chairman for getting this out to you. And it's not just a shirt. This is a movement. It's not just a shirt. This is a movement. Everybody under the sound of my voice should have Panther wear, Panther gear. You should have a New Black Panther Party cap. You should have something. You got to be black out loud. That's the slogan I gave to him. He picked that up. You got to be black out loud. If Anderson Cooper's flame himself can be in the closet and say he sleeps with men, you got to be proud, as Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, of course, Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, but Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour said that you got to be black and proud. And so let me bring our brother in all the way. He's from Virginia. I was from Virginia, I believe. He's a Virginia man, moved to Los Angeles, California. Now he's cutting up and making his move, staying in the Big Apple, taking a chunk of that big old apple. Let's talk to our brother, Brother Mike L. Black Power, sir.
Black Power, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, my brother? Welcome back to the broadcast.
I appreciate it, brother. I've been out here in Harlem about 2 weeks now. It's been a long 2 weeks. First and foremost, before I even say anything, I want to give a definite shout-out to our national chairman, Dr. Malik Shabazz, the Honorable Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and the rest of the Black Panther Party. Also to Mikhail Muhammad, and like I said, we're still working on getting King and Hannibal out. Also want to give another rest in peace to Brother Derek's father. We went out to be the pallbearers for his father today, early this morning, Brother Derek out of Newark, from the Newark chapter. So I want to give him a strong rest in peace to his father. It was pretty good. It was the family love us. You know, black people need to know that. I mean, you know, people need to know that our people do love us. You know, really do. And me being able to go across these different cities and states, and to continue to wear my uniform and just see the different mindsets from our people and different attitudes and emotions that our people show us as New Black Panther Party members, and our people are in love with us, you know, so don't let nobody tell you that they're not. You know, some might be confused, but our people love us. And just one more thing before we go on, Brother Shahid just called me, and his wife had just passed away, so I definitely want to get a rest in peace to his wife, and everybody give their condolences to Brother Shahid, chairman for the Harlem chapter. So, you know, a lot of things going on in our organization, but at the same time we're moving strong. So, yes, sir. Other than that, brother, I'm staying strong out here at these festivals, out here from Brooklyn to the Bronx to Manhattan. We're just selling out. I sold out all my hats and shirts. I have no more products. So that's to let you know that our people love us. You know, sold out yesterday in Brooklyn at the African Festival one day. So, again, our people love us. They want to support us, and they're ready for the next big thing, and we are that.
Wow, you said Brother Shahid's wife passed. Well, let me back you up. You say Shahid Shakur? Yes, sir. The chairman for Harlem chapter. He just gave me a call, and you know, the funny thing was, while we was in church, you know, the pastor was saying some strong things, and he was explaining how, you know, nobody can understand. If you never lost a loved one, you won't know what it's like. And it's, and losing a loved one is different depending on how close they was to you. And he just went over the spouse part. He was like, you know, but when you lose a spouse, it's totally different from losing another member of your family or anything of that nature, because that's the person you're one with. You know, you give your all to. And he went on about that. And then to come home 2 hours later, and for Shahid, the brother Shahid, to call me and tell me that his wife passed him. So, you know, just like I said, for those that are us that are members, you know, need to get a brother a call or text a brother or hit him on Facebook, you know, show him your condolences. The brother's been out here working strong. And just me and him been just hitting Harlem these streets up, tearing these streets up every single day, you know. And the brother works hard with his conditions that he also has, with his leg situation that I didn't even know about till yesterday. And I'm still amazed that his brother will still get up, move, and do what he got to do. With his condition as well. So, you know, but we have some strong brothers and sisters, and they're dedicated just as well as I am. That's why I'm here in New York, because I want to see this Million March reach its heights. I want to see our people wake up, clean up, and stand up.
Yes, sir. We want to, from Black Power Radio and the National Chairman, Dr. Malik Jalil Shabazz, our National Central Committee, we want to extend our condolences. If Shahid Shakur is listening, or anybody who is in contact with Shahid Shakur, and I'm going to call him myself, we want to extend condolences on behalf of the New Black Panther Party for a strong working comrade of ours who really has been spearheading in New York City operations for the Million Youth March and the National Black Family Convention and rent strikes and all kind of stuff that this brother does. Condolences go out to Brother Shahid Shakur and his family and loved ones and those who are affected and grieving in this hour. We love you, we support you, and we stand with you. And Black Power. And so, brother, you're in Harlem, New York. Now, are you from Virginia, or was you just living in Virginia? Where are you from?
No, I'm from Virginia, originally from Virginia, okay. Norfolk, south north of Virginia. And just, you know, most I said, Brother Mike, it's time for you to, you know, go other places. So that's what I've been doing, and went to move to L.A., and like I said, out there in Watts. And, you know, and it was funny because I was telling myself, I was like, man, I said, the next place I need to go is New York. That's the next place. I've been to the main hard parts of these major cities. I've been living in these communities, dealing with our people. The next place I need to come to is New York. You understand? And I'm just amazed. I'm in awe. I thank God every single moment, every breath I breathe, that I get this opportunity to do a lot of things that most men don't get a chance to do. And, you know, especially as a revolutionary, to get a chance to really reach your people and to empower our people the way I've been more to do. So I enjoy it, brother. I enjoy every minute of you know, dealing with my people, you know. So this is it for me. I don't see nothing else for me but to sit here, stand up for my people, find a new ways for our people to create jobs for themselves, connect businesses. I done met earring designer for my company, and I met me a dress designer for my company. I met a brother that makes African button ups for my company. So I'm just grabbing a whole team of people, and I'm putting together for my fashion team, and we're gonna move this thing out of this world. You know, you understand? We'll definitely move this thing out of the world. So again, like I said, I sold out all the hats and shirts, 100 shirts. I only had like 24 hats, but needless to say, that's to let you know our people love us. You know, they really, really do, and they respect us, and they're waiting for the next movement. They're waiting for that next big thing to wake our people up. And like I said, we are that, and the Black Panther Party is that. And of course, the other black organization that's working hard to uplift and raise the mentality and the consciousness of our youth. I just heard from Sister Angel, her daughter was telling me today that in her school, they have there's days during the year where they allow boys to dress like girls and girls to dress like boys, and she said this is ongoing, this is normal, you understand? And she said not only is this normal, but half of the children in her school are
or bisexual or gay. So it's like we have a major problem. We have a major, major problem when the public schools are promoting cross-dressing or promoting homosexuality or promoting men thinking or acting out as a female or a woman thinking or acting out as a male. That you know, there's a major problem. So, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And what we have to do as black men and black women is we have to reach these so-called black professors, these black teachers that have this knowledge. We need to create a school of our own. And we're not talking about no online. Most of our kids cannot understand or don't even learn online. They got to see visual. You understand what I'm saying? You got to show these babies. You got to show our kids the right way. We want to tell them without showing them. And this is the reason why they're in the situation they're in. White parents don't do that to their children. They show their children. They put their children in directions where they can be better individuals. We, as black men and black women, as parents, as elders, as a family, as a village, we have to go back to that village taking care of a child. We have to go back to that, we making sure that all of our children are intelligent. You know what I'm saying? No child is left behind. So it's a lot we as black people have to work on, and we say this all the time, but you know we have to do it. Not stop the talking and just do it.
We're talking about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, and of course when we say black boys, we have to mention the black girls too, young black youth in general. And you are reporting to us, Brother Mike, that Sister Angel's daughter said to you that on certain days they allow the boys to dress like girls and the girls to dress like boys. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's savage and sick behavior. And really, it should be organized against. But it's the sad state of affairs that the educational, so-called educational system, really the killing fields, but the educational systems of America is in. And this is all the reason why we must go after our young boys and our young girls and our youth. And all the more reason why you listening, those of you in the audience, should support this Million Youth March. Brother Mike, you say that you have sold out of your shirts, new Black Panther shirts, and sold out of your hats. What was the idea behind your shirts and hats? I know that you that spoke to me before, you said you wanted to make it a movement. You didn't want to just make it a hat or a shirt, but you wanted it to be a movement. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, sir. A movement. Once I realized that most of the black clothing lines have sold out and we don't have none of our own to where we can proudly put on our backs and our bodies and walk up and down the street without feeling like, we're looked at for why we're wearing this, for example. You know, a lot of these Prada and Gucci, a lot of people are homosexuals, cross-dressers, they donate their money to the church and say, all these high-end places that we go get our clothes from is not really for us. And as we know, Tommy Hilfiger told you back in the day, his clothes is not for black people. Nautica said the same thing. Their clothes is not for black people. And we still go support these people. So a movement is something everybody jumps on, meaning you go out there, you do something, so once some person sees you, they jump on it. Another person sees you, they jump on it. And another person sees you, they keep going, and keeps going. Then you turn it into a movement. So I knew once I put the hat and shirt on, I knew somebody else was going to ask me why I got it. So that's how you start a movement. I put it on. People respect the New Black Panther Party. People respect the Panther period. They understand the struggle. It speaks strength. It speaks pride. You understand? And it speaks self-love, you know what I'm saying, for our own and for our community. So immediately people wanted it. And then when I'm stepping out of my comrades and we all got the hat and shirt on, that alone, like I said, hats and shirts sell itself. You don't have to do no pitch or anything because people are seeing something that's new. People are seeing something that they want. I ain't got to have no commercial. I ain't got to have no billboard. I'm not, really ranting on Twitter or Facebook or anything of that nature. But once it's out there and they get a chance to put it on, it's just like get a new haircut. And, when you step outside and everybody's like, man, who cut your hair? It's no different from a sister getting her hair done. Like, who did your hair? I mean, it's that's how it is when you put on this outfit. When you put on a hat and shirt, that's what people are going to ask you all day long. Where did you get that at? Where is it at? So, that's when I knew this could become a movement. And being the fact that we also have a part in the Trayvon Martin situation, and being that we were, you know, we're definitely trying to hold it down for him and his family as well as the community and for Tampa, that also will show the strength in the new Black Panther Party that we are also here to support. So that's another major thing. So the people will see the support system that we have. So, you know, that's why it was easy for it to become a movement, because of the respect that we have for the New Black Panther Party has from the community.
What is your advice to people who are looking to bring the young Black boys or girls to the Million Youth March? What would you tell them they should expect? What should they see coming into this Million Youth March?
Well, they should expect a lot. I spoke to over like I think at least 100 different vendors, which everybody has their own different product. It's beautiful. I've never seen I'll be very honest with you. I've never seen this many Black people in one spot in my life, without any fighting, no nothing. There weren't even a lot of police running around, and you know, just Black people just enjoying themselves. And I went and talked to everybody. They're going to see a lot of different things, items, produce, merchandise they've never seen before. You know, they'll be able to take home. And also, the children will be able to speak to each vendor to find out how they started their business and whether or not that's something they might want to get into. And that's one thing I made sure that I spoke to all the vendors about, was the fact that what they're going to be doing is showing these babies, showing our future, how important it is to have their own business and the importance of knowing how it is to manage money when creating their own business and starting their own business, because that's what we need to start focusing our children on, is being business owners, business men and women, so we can take back our communities. Another thing they're going to see is, again, like a lot of entertainment, of course, from the major people in the community. You're going to see a lot of support from the Zulu Nation. You're going to see the full support from the Nation of Islam. You're going to see the full support of the Black Spades. You're going to see the full support of the Black Riders and a lot of other organizations that are definitely willing to support and step up to represent for our youth, because they definitely need it. And the youth will also get their chance to shine. And it's not about all these big speakers and entertainers that's coming. It's really about the youth. And they're coming to let the youth know that it's about them. So, you know, sometimes you've got to bring these kind of people out to let you speak to the youth. But it's very, very important that youth know that it's about them. So the youth will be expressing and showing their talents on those days. It's going to be for the 5th to the 8th. So it's 3 days. I'm advising people to, you know, to make sure they bring money to spend Black, and you know, that's one of the number one things we want to promote, because in Harlem 125, it is mainly European owned and Asian owned stores where our people are just being patronized every day, and we're buying all kinds of stuff, and we're not getting nothing put back in the community. So another major thing that we're doing is we're trying to get as many Black vendors as possible to where the stores can't even open up for 3 days straight. The people in the community are going to have no choice but to buy from those vendors and the Black farmers that will be posted up there for those 3 days.
Excellent, excellent, excellent advice and excellent information. And we're running short on time here in the broadcast, but I do want to ask you one last question before we go. For young Black males and females that are looking to start their business and to pick up really with nothing, like most of us start out with, like you did, what are some advice that you would give to them, the young Black male and female that want to start their business or be an entrepreneur such as yourself?
Number one thing is know what you want. Know what you want. You got to know exactly what you want. And then once you know what you want, you put it together. Because once it's in your mind, you got to put it together on paper. And then once you put it together on paper, you got to put it together in the physical. And when you're able to follow those steps first without having to do a lot of work, because the thing is, you want to try to do as much as just by yourself that you can when it comes to your designs and things of that nature. But if you need help from a graphic design, that's okay. But you want to do as much. You know, learn from your mistakes is what I'm basically trying to say. You know, you want to mess up, but, you know, learn from your mistakes and try to find an individual that will sponsor you, or a company or a corporation that will sponsor you, that believe in your product, believe in your vision, and go forward. And then if you're in my case, If you don't have nobody to do that with, you just, you know, work, get your money together, get your designs together, pay for your designs, pay for your patent and everything else like that, and then go ahead and put it together. Get somebody to embroider it, put it on a shirt, and then put it out there. Put it out there for the world to see, and to see how, we'll see what you can do from there, and use all of your social networks, networking as possible, friends, family, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, whatever, you know, even if it's an app, texting, however you want to do it, you know, use all the networks and then go from there, and you'll be able to see, as long as you progress, you'll be able to see yourself go further. But just don't give up on yourself, and just know that, you know, that you can do it.
Excellent information. You're there in the New York area, and I want to also say congratulations on your new child as well, since we're talking about destroying the conspiracy to destroy black. You want to talk about celebrating black youth as well. Congratulations to you and your queen on your new addition to your family, and much success to you and the queen on raising the black faith. Can you tell us, lastly, we got about 1 minute left, can you tell us how to pick up our shirts? The questions are still better. I know you sold all your shirts and your hats is gone, but you're going to get some more. How can the listening audience that are listening here live and those that will listen to the rebroadcast, how can they pick up a New Black Panther shirt or a hat? What do they got to do?
Oh, it's real simple. You can either call me at 757-355-3400, and that is my cell number. Again, 757-355-3400. Or you can email at rbgnews2012@gmail.com. Again, it's rbgnews2012@gmail.com. I don't have any with me at this time, but that doesn't mean I don't have anything. As I'm saying, I sold out what I brought to New York, but I still do have hats and shirts. So just let me know. Y'all can give me a call, or y'all can give me a ring on email or text, and I can get that product to you depending on the size and the color.
All right, Brother Mike, thank you so much for being on Black Power Radio with us and for dropping all the information that you have. And, Brother, be sure to come back and update us on your progress and where you're at in the world in this mission to develop black commerce and black economics, because we support you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Brother. Black Power.
Thank you, my brother. Black Power. That's Brother Mike L. hailing from Norfolk, West Virginia. He's all the way in New York pushing the product. And with these last remaining seconds, I want to say again, go to RBG News with a Z to get your New Black Panther shirt. Of course, that's, you missed that, just go to nbpphq.yahoo.com and ask, where can I get a shirt? Where can I get a hat? And get your memorabilia. Make sure that you support us September the 5th through the 8th for the Million Youth March 2013, 15-year anniversary of celebration of black family, saving our youth, saving our brightest generation. And that will be keynoted by National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And again, join us on Wednesday for the legendary Bun B of the super group, the rap group UGK. As you know, he rapped with the honorable and that great Pimp C, who has passed on and gone to the realm of the ancestors. But Bun B, that half of that dude, will be on with us on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock to join the New Black Panther Party and help in the effort and support the effort and believe in the cause, believe in the principles, and learn how to be a Panther. Again, you can email us at nvpphq@yahoo.com. Our website is newblackpanther.com, and you can text 502-758-7785. I know it's a lot of numbers, but 502-758-7785. Learn how to be a Panther. Learn how to be a vanguard in the struggle. Learn how to be active in the cause for fighting for the liberation and salvation of your people and the hearts and minds of your people. Let's resurrect our community, and let's pick ourselves up from the bootstraps and pick ourselves up out the dust, and let's build something that we can call our own. We thank you.
And now, remember, it's black power for black people. It's all power to the people. Black people are not free, and there's nobody that's free. In remembrance of Brother Shaheed Shakur's wife, who we found out passed away, we want to play a song by our comrade Jerry from Earlier Motor Technique called Toast to the Dead. And again, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. right here on Black Power Radio, Bun B, Black Power.
Rest in peace. Here's another warrior song. Rep this life to the fullest. Rest in peace. Yeah.
Motherfuckers, say your prayers.
For brothers who die from black on black ground.
Rest in peace.
If you ain't paying respect, then you supposed to.
Rep this life to the fullest.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
Think y'all
toast
to them.
Yeah. Rock
Raiders. Rest in peace.
Here's a toast to the dead. If you don't drink, smoke to the head. For the freedom fighters killed by the feds. For those who died hard in the streets, soaking in red. And died slow asleep in a dream, choking in bed. Here's a toast to the dead. For my enemies that are gone. I'm not a coward, so celebrating that would be wrong. I pray to God that your soul will come back again. So I can see you in the next life and finish it then. A toast to the dead. For criminals burning in hell. I wonder how many presidents are burning as well. Emperors, popes, senators, generals, amputees still are lucky until they see the vegetables. A toast to the dead. For those who are forgotten, written out of history by the corrupted and rotten. Black saints whitewashed during La Reconquista. Thousands of Indios, Spaniards used to conquer the Incas. Fuck a moment of silence, I need a moment of violence. Like the 19th century Caribbean islands. Long live those who came before, that paved the way for me. The warriors and scientists that came before slavery. And if that last lyric was predictable, take that clip and apply it to life in the physical. Presumptuous, half-hearted, homunculus. Self-destruction is the power without knowing what the function is.
Here's another warrior song. Rep this life to the fullest.
Rest in peace. Motherfuckers, say your prayers.
For brothers who die from black on black ground.
Rest in peace.
If you ain't paying respect, then you're supposed to.
Rep this life to the fullest.
Rest in peace.
Thank you, y'all. This goes to them.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a toast to the dead. For all of my fam, I will never let an idea die with a man. My rhymes are like naphthalines designed to give a view of this. J Dilla's still alive as long as his music is. A toast to the dead for rap legends and pioneers. Your legacy won't be forsaken as long as I am here. Knowledge of the past and wisdom of the present I teach and leave in the hands of a worthy lieutenant. A toast to the dead for children with cancer and AIDS. The cure exists and you probably could have been saved. Sad to see medicine divorce morality. Corporate home wreckers pimping up a salary. A toast to the dead for those that have died today. The victims and those exonerated by DNA. The only thing worse than giving freedom to the guilty is killing the innocent and leaving your soul filthy. Immortal technique, remember me when I'm gone. I encrypted my lyrics to stay alive in a song. So you'll always keep a piece of my spirit inside when you struggle to complete what I started before I died. But some of you won't survive the changes the earth makes. Swallowed by tsunamis, hurricanes and earthquakes. And that's just the first stage if you cannot reverse ways and realize that we are one regardless of our birthplace.
Here's another warrior song. Rep this life to the fullest.
Rest in peace. Motherfuckers, say your prayers.
For brothers who die from black on black ground.
Rest in peace.
If you ain't paying respect, then you're supposed to.
Rep this life to the fullest.
Rest in peace.
Thank you, y'all. This goes to them.
Metaphysics.
Rest in peace.